Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
We'll give you praise for this. Lord, thank you because your word can be trusted. We give you praise for this. Now today, again, our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness. We set apart every superfluity of nothingness. We set apart every superfluity of nothingness. And we receive with meekness the engrafted word. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Somebody said, he rescued me. Put your hands together. Glory to God and have your seat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're glad you're in church? Can someone let me put all this stuff? You know I don't like it. Praise God forevermore. Say this after me. I'm born again. Say, I'm a child of God. Oh, you didn't say like him. Say, I'm a child of God. You didn't say, I'm a child of God. God lives in me. Glory to God. I want to start a new teaching with us today that I've captioned. For those of you who follow me on social media, you already have an idea what the title is, titled Facts and Foundation. You know, it's so important once upon a time, again and again, to always stir up our holy minds in the foundation of what really points to us as Christians so that we can be firm in it. We can be firm in it. So this teaching series is actually designed to strengthen up our foundational knowledge about the Christian faith. We want to help you to see certain things that point to us as Christians. This is so important. These are foundational truths that you have to know. There are some things that must point to us for who we are as Christians. Many people see Christianity only from the standpoint of symbolism. So when they see a cross, they say, oh, wow, okay. When they see a church, okay. Or when they see people use certain Christianese and cliches, bless you. But who are we? And what are the things that point to us? What are the things that must be real to you as a Christian? I just outlisted six of them. So I'm going to share six of them. So it's a six-part teaching. So I'm going to teach part one now. Another in second service, then two next week, then two more hop a week, making six for the rest of this month. And I want you to make sure you're taking up all the required notes that you need to take. It's so important so that you can go over them again and again. It's like studying ABC. You see, it makes no difference if you have a PhD, your foundation is still ABC. Come on, talk to me. And the moment you miss out on that, it's going to affect you in your Christianity. It's so important. Some things have to be real to you. They are our fact and foundation. These are not debatable facts. These are things that you must hold in high esteem. There are things you need to hold in high esteem. Praise God forevermore. Turn in your Bibles, everybody, to the book of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the word instruction there from the Greek word paideia, it means tutelage. So the word of God is a tutelage material. So I want to teach you from God's word. Certain things that point to us as Christians that must be real to you. Must be real to you. So in first service, I want to share one with you. You know, it's so important. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this teaching because you see, as Christians, there are instances where you have to draw the demarcation. For example, you can find yourself amidst folks who talk right, who act right. Doesn't necessarily mean that they are born again. And you could even be here All right, you might be or could have been in church for so long, and you are not actually born again. Yesterday in school of ministry, I was sharing with them how that it is possible to be in church 20 years, 10 years, and not be born again. Why? If you're not reading the wrong, you're not hearing the right thing. And if you were baited into the church with some other stuffs that are not the fundamental things, it's so important. There are people who are miracle seekers, and that's beautiful. How beautiful it is to know that you can trust God for miracles. It tells us our God is alive. But you see, that's not the end point. You have to know that if you keep seeking God for bread, like in John 5, when you get to John 6, God, Jesus, was going to tell you, stop seeking me for the bread that I give, but start seeking me for the bread that I am. And he will tell you, I am the bread come from heaven. He will tell you, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Then the congregation might reduce from 5,000 to 12. And Jesus will turn to the 12 again and says, look, is any of you going to go with them as well? But I'm sure someone like Peter will say, God, you ain't going nowhere. Only you has the word of life. I believe there are many Peters here. Say loud, amen. Amen. There are 1,001 Peters here. Say loud, amen. Amen. So, who are we? And what are the things that point to us? What are the things that must be real to us? Listen, can I be honest with you? Believing God that he exists is not enough to qualify you as a Christian. When you say, well, I believe God exists, it's not enough. The Bible says in James 2 verse 19, it says, even demons believe. Can you see how stupid atheists are? No wonder the psalmist says, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I mean, even devils believe God exists. But it doesn't make devils Christians. It's not even enough to believe Jesus exists. It's not even enough to have reverence for Jesus. Most religion in the world have reverence for Jesus. Either has a rabboni, a rabbi, or one powerful person that once lived. And they reverence him. It still doesn't make them Christians. There is a particular body of truth you must know about this Jesus before it can culminate into being saved. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1 to 4. He calls it the content of the gospel. There are certain things you must know about this Jesus. Listen, if you are bearing Joshua, you are also bearing Jesus. So there is something that separates this Jesus from the Jesus a footballer, from the Jesus the Brazilian guy. There is something about this Jesus. It is a fact that he died. And this is what separates you from every other religion in the world. Believing that this Jesus we're talking about is the Jesus that died and he spent 3 days like in the sign of Jonas. He died and was buried. He remained in the earth for 3 days. He went to hell. And then on the third day, he arose. And this Jesus that arose is the one in whom you believe. Otherwise, your faith is in vain. If these are not the fundamentals you know about this Jesus we're talking about, you're not a believer yet. You're still a joker. It's so important. You have to know that this Jesus we're talking about is not a prophet. He's more than a prophet. Jesus asked them in the book of Matthew, and verse 16 from verse 13, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, thou art Jeremiah's, some say thou art Elijah. In fact, some say thou art one of the prophets. Are there religion in the world today who believe Jesus is one of the prophets? You see that? So believing that he's one of the prophets is not even enough because he is more than a prophet. He's more than that. There is something you have to believe about this Jesus before it can culminate into being born again, into being called a Christian. You must believe that he died. Why? Because without his death, you are still in your sin. His death was necessary for the remission of your sin. And his resurrection was necessary for your justification. James 4 verse 25 tells us that he was delivered up for our offenses. And he was raised up again for our diakosis, our acquittal. It's a legal term. It means when you are taken to the court and there is no charge that is found against you. It's so important. You have to know that is who we are. Can you see that? So as a Christian, this is so important. Now, the first thing that must be real to you as a believer, write it down. The first thing that must be real to you is the written word, the word of God. Now, it sounds very simple, but very basic and necessary as well. It's a basic necessity that the word of God must be real to you. The word of God must be real to you. It must be to you a living thing. It must be God speaking to you. One of the problems of the New Testament 21st century Christian is inability to know what to do with a 66 books written by, you know, nearly 40 different authors or writers, beg your pardon, who many times are even several centuries apart. They don't know what to do with it. Can you see? And it's so important that you know that in spite of these nearly 40 authors, who are writers, beg your pardon, because the Holy Ghost authored it, several centuries apart, yet their focus is the same. John 5:39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. That means the focus of scripture is Christ. This is so important. The word of God must be so real to you. And that's why a Christian should not be lost reading the Bible. The Bible has a design. And the design is targeted to reach a focus. And the focus is Christ. See, there is no book that is holy. A book is only holy to the degree in which it speaks about this holy man, Jesus. You see, when we call Bible simply means collection of books. Holy Bible means collection of holy book. A holy book is a book that is focused on one holy man, the man Jesus. So a book is holy to the degree in which it speaks in consonance to that holy man, Jesus. So when you read the Bible, you have to see it as God speaking to you. Say, my Bible is God speaking to me. I didn't hear you say, my Bible is God speaking to me. You know, some people say, God, speak to me, speak to me. I can imagine God just saying, I have your Bible with you. Can I be honest with you? If you read your Bible, more than 70% of what you want to hear from God will be written there for you already. The 30% are just certain specifics that you are certain in the place of prayer. But most of the things you need to know, most of the guidance you require. You see, a Christian seeking God's voice with a closed Bible is walking in utter deception. And you see, let me be honest with you, all right? Look, your vacation from the word is vacation from the truth. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 8 and verse 20, it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this truth, it's because there is no light in them. God's word is light. God's word is the truth. It must be real to you. It was written. Okay, listen. Why was the Bible written? Why? I mean, for example, you hear Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. You know, hearing saying things like not to esteem any man above that which was written. I mean, you hear Jesus asking his audience, have you not read? So that means he expected his audience to have read the Torah. Why? Why so much honor for the written word? You know, Bible historians told us that Apostle John was greatly privileged of God to witness the post-apostolic era. So he saw the falsity and the error trying to creep into the church in form of doctrines and some kind of wrong manifestation of the Spirit in the world, coming trooping into the church. And by the Spirit of God, you know, he began to write on discernment. So you hear him saying things like, I write to you concerning them that seduce you. Apostle John, he said, but you have an unction from the Holy One. You see him saying things like, I write to you, fathers. I write to you, young men. I write to you, children. Why? Why so much honor for the written word? Why so much honor for writing? I'll tell you why. You see, writing preserves the sanctity of truth from spooky visions and imperfection of human panorama. So it turns out that your surest shield from error is your fidelity to the written word. And that's why, as a pastor, it's my responsibility to teach you the word, so that you will be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and every slant of men lying in wait to deceive, but teaching the truth in love, that you might grow into him in all things. Say hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. It's so important. The word of God is important. You have to take it that way. You have to see the word of God as a real thing. You must understand that the word of God is real to you. It's not something you dust every Sunday and Tuesday when you're coming to church. No, it's a real thing to you. It's not something you put at the pillow when you want to sleep so that devil is not going to attack you. Well, unfortunately, many times devil still attack you in your dream. Because the Bible on your bed ain't going to do you no good. It is the Bible in your heart that will help you respond to situations. Haven't you noticed, most of you know many songs. Oh, lo, 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 Buga, let me see you, Buga. Oh, lo, lo. You know so much of those stuff. But did you notice anytime Satan attacks, you don't remember oh, lo, lo, lo. You trying to remember scriptures to call up. Listen, let me tell you something. It is the word of God that you've stored in that will come out in the day of trouble. You see, look at the foam. When you put a foam in water and you soak the foam in water, everywhere you touch, what will come out? Come on, talk to me. When you are soaked with the word, when anxiety comes, what will come out? When temptation comes, what will come out? When situation stares you in the face, what will come out? You can't give what you don't have. For out of the abundance of the earth, the Bible says, the mouth what? You see that? So you have to store the word in. You have to know your word. Can I be honest with you? Most of the wrong stuff people get into, they are product of lack of the word. That's why the most brilliant thing you must do to yourself is to find a local assembly, a church, where they prioritize the written word. This is so important. Look, as beautiful as miracles are, by the way, for your information, let me give you a caveat. I work miracles every week. No week passes me by without working miracle, including salvation. I hope you know salvation is the biggest miracle. So I'm not talking low on miracles. Never will I. In fact, that's my ministry. I have a healing ministry. But we don't build ministry around the workings and the giftings of the Spirit. We build ministry on the Word. The Word of God is the only anointed thing at all times. In fact, if you stick to the Word long enough, the Spirit will take over. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? So you must have this fidelity to the word as a child of God. The Bible says in the book of Hosea 4 verse 6, he says, many of God's children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, God already found and produced a solution to that. I mean, Hosea 4 verse 6 tells us, he says, many of God's children, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, the good news is God already made solution for that. He made a promise in Jeremiah 3:15. Don't forget, they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you after my own heart pastors who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, the very thing they were destroyed for. So Ephesians 4 tells us, it says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that we, you know, we grow into him in all things. He gave ministry gifts for this purpose. So when you found the local assembly that, you know, prioritize the written word, stick to there. Stop jumping around. Take root downward and bear fruit upward. Shout amen, somebody. It's so important. You have to know. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 92, he says, look, they that be planted in the house of God, in the court of God, they will bear forth fruit. They will take root downward. He says, even in their old age, they will keep bearing fruits. They will be like the palm tree. You know, I was talking about the palm tree. I found out everything about the palm tree is useful. They'll be useful in their young age, youthful in their youth age, youthful at all times. The righteous shall flourish like a plant tree. He shall grow like a cedar of the Lebanon. Verse 13, give it to me. Verse 13, it makes a pause. It says, those that be planted. Somebody say planted. Say it again. Did you ever see a planted tree before? Come on, talk to me. Did you see one yesterday? Did you remember the spot you saw it? Come on, talk to me. Did you see a planted tree recently? When was that? Yesterday, today? Did you remember the spot you saw those planted trees? Now after church, when you're going back, are you going to see those trees, the same spot you left them? Why? They were planted. They were not jogging around. It is those that are planted in the house of the Lord that will flourish in the court of our God. And any flourishing outside God's perspective of flourishing is not a flourishing. That's why he says he desires above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's a totalitarian thing. The message of prosperity that I preach is a totalitarian prosperity. God wants you to be prosperous in all realms of your life. Spiritually, mentally, socially, financially. It's wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. This is God's desire for you. It is shalom, shalom, shout amen. That's God's plan for you, and he's going to do that through the instrumentation of the word. Can you see that? That's why we gather, to learn the word, to put the word to work, to train you, to give you God's tutelage material. So important. So God's word must be real to you. What is the focus of the Bible? Let me show you something. This is so important. Like I used to say, a Christian should not be lost reading the Bible. The Bible has a focus. Jesus was quoting Psalms 40 verse 7 in Hebrews 10, 7. He says, in the volume of book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. The Bible tells us, all right, in John 5, 39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them they think they find eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. The scripture, listen, we call it Holy Bible because it speaks about the holy man Jesus and our identification with him in it. That's why we call it the Bible. So the Bible will point you to Jesus. It's God's material to teach you about him. Someone says, so why do I have to learn about him? It's important because the more you know about Jesus, the more you know about yourself. Because you are in him. In him you find who you are. Ever been so troubled about personal identity? Don't trouble no more. Don't worry no more. Study Jesus. You find yourself there. For example, Jesus in the book of John 8:32, he says, I am the light of the world. Can you see that? Then he speaks about you also in Matthew 5:16 from verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. Think about that. Can you see that? What he speaks of himself, he speaks of you. Why? Your identity is in him. So the word of God must be real to you. Somebody said, well, I don't usually have all the time. Listen, technology has made things so easy for us. You can have audio Bible. Listen, I want to promise you, if you think you need audio Bible, all right, see my PA after service. I will make arrangements. I will buy it for you. I will give you the audio. You see, you have to be serious with your life. You have to give priority to the word of God. You have to place premium on the written word. Because that's the only thing that lasts forever. That's all you need. Somebody say, I need the word. I need the word. Come on, say it. Say, I need the word. Say it again. I didn't hear you. Say it louder. Yeah, you must see it as a necessity, a daily necessity. Man shall not live by bread alone, the Bible says, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That was Jesus in Matthew 4:4, and he was quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 when he was saying that. And I can give you the context. These were God's people. They were to move into their promised land, but they stayed on one spot for 40 years, not because God wanted them to stay there. Verse 3 of the book of Deuteronomy 8, the Bible says, God said, I suffered you to remain here so that you might learn to know that man should not live by bread alone. Hey, do you understand this? In your walk with God, if you refuse to learn the right lesson, you will remain on the same spot for so long. Some people are on the same spot, not because they were doing something wrong. What if it is because you have refused to learn the right things you need to learn? What if it is because you haven't given attention, priority to the right things? And God in his mercy will not make you go further. Because you know if you go further, he will lost you completely. There are some of you, if 10 million naira hit your account today, just today, you are going to change your SIM card. Nobody is going to be able to call you anymore. I mean, you used to claim the church before. If you make calm, as you normally say, boy, you're going to become, don't touch me. And that's why I respect the prayer of that man called Agor. He says, don't give me too much beyond that I can handle. And don't make me hungry that I will now sin against you. What a prayer. Very sincere prayer. But I consider it a foolish prayer. Because as for me, I need so much. Not just for me, but so I can be a blessing. That's why I pray for abundance. So you have to celebrate the fact that we are committed in this church to help you. Take, for example, in this church. How many church, and I'm not trying to boast, how many church do you know of that do parallel serial teaching? Parallel serial teaching of Tuesday Bible study and Sunday service. And our Sunday service, we can do 8 parts. We can do 10 parts if you have 5 Sundays. Part 1, first service is not what we preach in second service. It's a continuity. So much of hard work is put into these things. Take advantage of it. It pains me a lot when I see people from outside the church, when I meet them somewhere else, and they're like, you blessed me. And I'm like, God, oh, how I wish my own people too. You know, Jesus said it. He was right. He says a prophet is that an honor in his own house. You have to cherish what you have. It's so important. You know, the Bible helps us to know in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 8 that two powerful things occurred, all right, in scriptures in Ephesians 4, 8. You see, Ephesians 4, 8. The Bible helps us to know in Ephesians 4, verse 8, all right, that two powerful things occurred sequel to Jesus' ascension. One, the Bible says, he led captivity captive, and then he gave gifts unto men. Oh, I wish I have time to talk about this. I can preach a whole month on this. You know, this was Paul trying to use an analogy to explain, all right, what Jesus did. He uses the analogy of certain occurrences in Bible days where Kingdom A, all right, can wield so much power over Kingdom B until one day power changes hands and Kingdom B now with power over Kingdom A. So now Kingdom A, that used to be the captor, now becomes the captive. So before Jesus' coming, Satan wielded so much power over humanity. But the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus changed the thing. Power change ends on resurrection morning. So now he led captivity captive. Satan, who was the captor, is now the captive. So now, and like in Bible days, after such experience, Kingdom B will now throw a feast in celebration. And they will even, all right, do a giveaway to people living in all the provinces. In the same vein, Jesus did the same thing. But in celebrating the victory, what Jesus did was that he gave gifts unto men. And the gifts he gave in this time were men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So your pastor is a gift of God to you. No wonder Jesus walks with that woman at the well. He says, if you know the gift of God, referring to himself, and who it is he asking you to give him water, you ask him to give you water instead. Say after me, my pastor is a gift to me. Say it again. Say, my pastor is God's gift to me. You have to know, just like Jesus asking the woman, he says, if you know the gift of God, it's important that you know. You have to know it. Say, I know, I know, I know. Say it louder. Say, I know. Yeah, it's important to know. Hallelujah. Your pastor is a gift. You might say, why is he telling us that you are a gift to him? Is he trying to? You are a mumu. If you think that way. Because when you read the Bible, did you see my signature there? Come on, talk to me. Did you see me? Did I write it? He says he gave gift unto men. And you must take it seriously. Because what you don't know you have, it won't matter you have it. If you have a pistol, imagine this man that just gave a testimony. Thank God for the deliverance, they didn't touch him. Imagine if everybody in his compound, after the thieves left, they found out that they all had pistols under their bed. How would they feel? They will eat their head. Because obviously those guys probably came with cutlass and maybe all these hunters gone. Crack and shoot. Imagine you had AK-47 and somebody comes to rob you with a banger, knockout. Only for you to find out you know later on that you actually had a pistol. You will eat your head. I forgot to deal with these little rascals. That's the way it is. If you have something and you don't know you have it, it won't matter you have it. Have you ever had a friend and you're like, hey, I want to pay the, maybe you jumped a bike from one place to your house for whatever reason, and then you spoke to your neighbor and you say, hey, all the denomination in my hands now are 1,000 naira, the highest denomination in Nigeria, and I need to pay this motorcyclist just 200 naira for the transport fare. Do you have little change like 200? And he says, I have. You have? Okay, I have. But it is in the hostel. He's a mumu. Because even if he had, as long as it is not available, it didn't make any sense that he had it. You know, it's like some people in church. They are so gifted of God, but they are not always available. So what should we do? We should be crying that, he's so gifted. You are not available. It makes no difference. Listen, availability is important than ability. Because guess what? In your availability, God can anoint your availability. It's like serving. That's what God said about David. 89 and verse 20 of the book of Psalms. He says, I have found David my servant. And with my holy oil will I anoint him. Anointing the service in him. It's important to know. Can you see that? David my servant with my holy oil. It's so important. What you have and you don't know you have it. You know the problem with many people? They learn by experience. There are people who don't cherish their moms until they lost their mom. There are people who don't cherish their dads until they lost their dad. Oh, what a life. That won't be your experience in Jesus' name. There are many who lost things until they found out that, I had this thing. There are some ladies in stupid relationship. That man, that guy would not know he had you until one day you speak out boldly and says, hey, guess what? Off my back. And he says, come, go, you stay. Come, go, come, go, you stay. He said, no, I ain't coming back. That's when your eyes will clear up that, I had such a great gift I never knew. Now the ladies are happy that, look at you. You should know your words. You are bought with the blood of Christ. Say loud, amen. Amen. You have to know it. Think about this. The entire book of John was written just to tell the reader, that in believing Jesus, they will have eternal life. Then, in his letter to the church, he says, I write this that you may know. 1 John 5:13. That you may know that you have. Why is it important that you know? It's so important. So, the focus of the scripture is Jesus. The ultimate understanding of scripture is to see everything in the light of Christ. That's number 2 point I want to just... I'm not going to be just 3 points, then I'll close. I told you, I'm going to be very brief about this. Jesus is the focus of scripture. Let me say Jesus is the focus of scriptures. I want to also tell you something. Can the word of God be trusted? Listen, look up everybody. I'm saying it. We're talking about facts and foundation, right? And I said, number one thing that must be real to you is what? I didn't hear you. Say it again. Say it again. It must be real to you. How real is your Bible to you? Let me ask you, do you even trust what is inside? Can the word of God be trusted? There are many people who go through certain situations and circumstances and they feel, dear God, can this word be trusted? Should I just throw this thing away? Is it working? Why all these bogus promises and all these bogus facts that I'm not experiencing in my life? First of all, can I trust this thing? Some people are in the stage, you're so discouraged. Can I trust the word of God? I've been treating this ailment for so long. But the word of God says that if I use the name, it's going to work. Can I really trust? Can I trust the word of God? I've been trusting him for a certain amount of money for so long just to meet essential needs. Why is it so hard? Can I trust the word of God? Then a preacher comes, knocks on the door while the person is thinking that way. Come. Who are you? We just came to share the word of God with you. You see them again? Please, off from my door. I'm tired. Can this thing be trusted? I've read the word of God. I've read the word of God. Can I truly trust this thing? Is this thing real? I put it to you today. It is real. It's one of the first things that must be real to you. The word of God must be real to you. It must be real to you. Give me Isaiah 55 and verse 10. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. The word of God must be real to you. He's so sure. He says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. Have you seen rain come down from heaven before? Come on, talk to me. Have you? As the rain come down from heaven. Now, which of you, when you see the rain falling, in the same instance, you just see that rain as it's coming down, it just stops. Then it just goes up again like that again. Have you ever seen it? Hey, come on, talk to me. Except in Japanese movies. Have you ever seen it before? So God is saying, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, it doesn't happen. Except in movies. He says, as it doesn't happen, he says, but it waters the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He now says, so, in other words, just the same way you will never see rain fall, and instantly as it is falling, it will go up again. He says, in the same way, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. He says, for it shall not return unto me void. It shall not return unto me without effect. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is God. He says, my word is a sure banker. That means you can go to bank on my word. If God appears to you now and says, son, go to bank, go and withdraw 1 million. Even if it is zero naira in your account, start going. That's what happened in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Did you read the Bible very well? The Bible says they brought the water, dirty water. I wish I had time to explain to you. It was a dirty water. It's a water for purification. The water they put outside for people to wash their leg when they are coming to the house. He says, bring it. And as they brought it, he says, take it to the MC. It was still water. And as they were going to the MC, the Bible says, as the MC fetched it, it was still water. It was when he now took it, it became wine. Don't forget, Mary had warned them, whatever he tells you to do. Mary knew something. Mary knew the son has something. He said, whatever he tells you to do, how do you explain? Prophet Elisha was called by some other sons of prophet. These sons of prophet, all right, they had to change their accommodation. So they got a piece of land. They want to make a little house to live in. So they went to cut, you know, trees, you know, lumbers, so they can make this sparkle house. Listen to me. And so as they were cutting, but they don't have what to cut with, so they went to borrow an ass. Now, as they were, you know, making this, all right, cutting, you were beside water. And as they were cutting, what happens? The axe head fell into the water. And they cried, Elisha, master, help us. We borrowed this thing. The owner is going to kill us. And like you know in physics, metal head, it has to go down because the density is bigger than the density of water. So now they call Elisha. Elisha says, hold on. And scripture says, Elisha cut a little branch of the tree and says, where did the thing fall down? Where? They say, around here. And then he threw the tree branch there and the axe floated. How do you explain that? That defied gravity. What happened to viscosity? What happened to particulate nature of matter? What happened to capillarity? Tell me, what happened to all those things we were taught in physics? They were suspended. The word of God can't be trusted that way. Can you see that? He is a God. There was one man, one wonderful woman. She lost her husband who was a prophet. And they've been broke now. They had a lot of debt that they need to pay. And the owners of the debt were coming to take the children. In those days, if your parents were owing, some of your parents are owing, if it was in those days, boy, you are in trouble. So they were going to take the children captive to pay for the debts. Do you know what that means? They will belabor them for those debts. And the woman went and cried and said, now I lost my husband. Now my kids, they're going to take them away from me. And my husband, your servant, served you before he died. The prophet says, no problem. What do you have? I'll do a teaching one day on this. What do you have? You have something. If the word of God is not working, it's because there is nothing for it to multiply. You can trust the word. I can tell you that. He says, what do you have? The woman says, I have nothing but just a cruse jar of oil. He says, bring it. And he says, go and borrow. That means go and build capacity. Go and borrow more jar. Fill it with water. And as he filled with water, he began to pour it. He paid all the debt and had so much coming in. Say the word of God can be trusted. I've seen him work several miracles and miracles. He's a good God. Trust his word can be trusted. Can be trusted. Look at Psalms 18 verse 30. Number one foundation of our Christian faith is the word of God is real. The reality of the word. Look at it. It says, as for God, can we all read this verse 30 together, everybody? 3, 2, go! Uh-huh. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. The word of God can be trusted. It can be trusted. All of my life he's been faithful. I'm telling you, he's a faithful God. His word can be trusted. Somebody say, I trust the word. The word of God is real to me. Say it again. Say, the word of God is real to me. Psalms 12 and verse 6. Psalms 12 and verse 6. Look at it. Psalms 12 and verse 6. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. In other words, God's word is pure. You can bank on God's word. You can. Look at 2 Samuel 22 and verse 30. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 30. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 30. Whew, time is gone. I have to round off now. For by thee, oh boy, what a testimony. Listen to me, it makes no difference what you're going through. If you will trust the word, if you will hold on to the word, I'm telling you, if you hold on to the word, you will come back with a testimony. He says, for by thee I have run through troop. By my God, someone here, you're sending yourself to school, it's been a struggling. Listen, the Lord says to tell you, just finish this school and see. I will show myself in your life. He says, I should tell you that. I will show myself. You will be crying. He says, there will be a time for 2 months, you'll be waking up crying in gratitude. He says, look at what the Lord has done. Look at me. How do I? So, but you have to keep it on right now. Hold forth. Don't give up. He says, for by my God have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. Verse 21, 31. He says, as for God, his way is perfect. He's telling you how it happened. He says, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Then if you keep on, then you're going to see the testimony continues. For who is God, save the Lord. And who is our rock, save our God. 33, you're going to keep reading that way. You're going to see him giving testimony of the power of the word. He says, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. I like to talk like this. He says, he maketh my feet like iron's feet. Do you know what I mean? Iron's feet, stability. And setteth me upon my high places. He takes the poor from the dunghill. And he makes him to sit with the prince, even the prince of his people. He makes my business prosper. Come on, talk to me. He makes me excel in my academics. I just lay in bed and he tells me my area of concentration. And I begin to read that same place, and all the questions come from that place. And I come up with an A, and everybody says, how did you do it? It teaches my hands to walk. Can you see that? That means it teaches you how to excel against every adversity. So that a bowl of steel is broken by my hand. That means achieving daunting tasks. Having a goal and beating it down by your God. He says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. I am great. Somebody say, I am great. I am great. He gave all this. He accrued to the word. He says, his word has been tried. Can't you see? The Bible told us that David never lost a war. How did he do it? Every time he would pray, he just needed the word. Once he heard from God, go. Magana Yakari. Just a word is enough. I will beat down my foes. In 1 Samuel 30, they came to beat down their stoves in Ziklag. He says, Lord, should we go? He says, go. But they came back with loot. All the war, he always won because he trusted the word. You know, Brother Kenneth Copeland says something. He says, one word from the Lord can change your life forever. Just a word. A word. Hallelujah. Somebody say, okay, Pastor, thank you for telling me all this. I know. But why is it that I am not seeing it in my life? Whew. Unfortunately, time is gone, so I'm just going to just run through three things I need you to do to have the word of God become a reality in your life. You see, one of the frustrations of many Christians, like I've been saying since about the goodness and the good things in the word of God, they say, okay, how do I make this thing become reality in my life? These are my positional truths, but they are not my experiential truths. So how do I make this become a reality in my world? It's something simple. My world is going down. How do I make the word of God a reality in my world? I tell you. Proverbs 4 verse 20 to 22 gives us the answer. And I'm just going to tell you those three things you should do. It's an attitude you must have to the word, because the word alone has the power to make situations turn around. So your attitude to that word is what will determine how excellent, how successful, or what your outcome would be. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. That means, number one, write it down. Give God's word your attentive ear. A lot of people are always, you know, they could be even be in church right now, and their mind is traveling. They're thinking about, hey, they're thinking about the agbado, cassava that they will eat. They're thinking about, you know, several things. Their mind is just traveling around. Discipline yourself to control your mind on focusing. Let me tell you something about the power of focus. It's the reason why some people are multi-talented and they have not achieved anything in business. They have become jack of all trade, master of none. They have refused to know what to major on and to minor on. Ever wonder that no matter how hot it is, I mean, I've lived in Sokoto before, sometimes it can be 43. 43. So hot that if you are on a bike and you're going like this, if the air passes through you, it's like oven. Yet, never in time has it ever happened that, all right, we see people burning by themselves on the roadside. Never, it never occurred. As hot as it is in Sokoto where I once stayed, it never occurred that we just see people catching fire. Never. But even on a very day where you have, like, let's say, even 28 or 30 degrees Celsius, if you get a convex lens and you put a paper a few centimeters under it, in no time, that paper will catch fire. Why? Because in physics, convex lens will carry all the light, all the divergent light. It will converge it into one spot. It's the power of focus. If God's word has so much promises, if it's not present in my life, then it means I have not given it the necessary attention. So give God's word your attentive ear. This is so important. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. It means you are walking, your ear is plugged with the word. Instead of listening to
I want to carry my love away to the place and Odogu, Odogu, Odogu. Instead of listening to all those stuff, I'm doing all the challenges on Instagram. You do no bra challenge. You're giving too much focus to those things. Give your attention to the word. Somebody comes to visit you, they must hear the word. Even if it's a birthday you have, on my wedding day, they wanted to play something. I told the woman, my wife was there, I told her, I said, tell them to stop that. Oh, I stop this wedding now. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah. They brought live band. I said, you sing any nonsense here. It was, the bridegroom is a pastor. Ah, pastor, okay, I said, go. That's what the Bible says in the book of James 5. It says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any merry? That means, is there a bash? You want to throw a party? Sing psalms. Them say, Pastor, you mean on my wedding day, we should not be singing, oh, praise the Lord. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, sing good songs. And by the way, do you know, it's not all songs that are not Christian that are bad. A song can be secular, but it does not mean it is vulgar. For example, your school anthem or your Nigerian anthem is not, can you say, oh God of creation, mashakala balabayagara. But it's not a vulgar song. You see that? Like, oh, mommy, baby girl, you want him more fair on you, don't lose it, leoka. You know that song? Okay, don't worry, 20 kids who know it. Though I hate to see a girl. Now, that song, they're not calling Jesus, they're not praying in tongues, they're not worshiping, but it's not vulgar. It doesn't have to be Christian, like, before it is, you know what I'm talking about. Praise God. So give God's word. So I'm not against, listen, look up. Some of you feel like, this pastor, I think he's a young man, but now old school. No one that's seen mustache like I'm Coco. Thank you. I'm reading somebody, you know I'm a man of God. I read somebody's mind. He's saying, look at him. God, no, be soji pastor. I soji past you. I'm telling you, I saw you pass. You don't know me, that's why. You don't. I'm not trying to get in your way of entertainment. You know, there was a day I had to call some ladies. They were dancing to something. Well, I can't remember the song, but it was one guy that used to bring the trousers down. Malia. I said, do you know the meaning of the song you are singing? You are just abusing your private part as a woman. He's calling your private part soak away. Soak away means septic tank, where your poo goes. And then tomorrow, you start shouting, women matter. Women matter. So you are fighting feminism. But you are already anti-feminist to yourself. How can you be dancing with a low body? That means you have come with madness. Your confession now becomes your experience. Now on Sunday, you lift your hand, Shantalama. Listen to me. It is what you do daily that becomes your experience. Not what you do once in a while. It is what you do daily. It is not what you do once in a while. It is what you do daily that becomes your life. Give God's word daily, attentive ear. Let's go on, verse 21. I'm going to close now. I promise I'm closing now. My last scripture, because we have to start second service. Look at it. I'm binding my notes now. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Number two, give God's word your first steadfast look. That means focus. Still saying the same thing. Steadfast look. Look at Isaiah 50 verse 7. Oh, I like it. We're coming back to this. That's what's going to explain what I'm just saying now. Isaiah 50 verse 7. Look at it. Oh, I like it. It says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore what? Have I set my face like a flint? That means I look forward. My eyes is up unto the Lord. I'm not distracted by the issues around me. Steadfast look. I have set my face like a flint. I know that what? I shall not be ashamed. God no go shame me. God no go shame me. God no go shame me. I believe it. Set my face like a flint. Giving God's word a steadfast look. Whatever he said to me, it makes no difference what is happening. He has factored what is happening into the equation before he gave that word. And what is happening is not powerful enough to truncate what he already spoke ahead. So I'm going to stick here. I'm not going to die here. I will live here. I live here until I see the word become a reality. Look at that man, Caleb. He spoke to Joshua. He says, 40 years was I when the man of God, Moses, brought us to this place. Now I'm 80 years old, but I am still as strong as I was in my 40s. And I still have the power to go into the war and come back in as a winner. He says, give me this mountain. In other words, don't play for the low lives in your living. Don't play for the low stake. Strike it big. Don't be so small in your mind. It's good to start small, but start small and think big. Look at the way we are right now. We are in Kefi. Not even the capital of a northern state. And we are getting testimony from California. We are getting testimony from Canada. Can you see that? From Egypt. We're getting testimony. From Port Harcourt, from Lagos, everywhere. Why? I'm going to preach to the whole wide world. You don't need to tell me. I know it. Now I'm going to do it because I've received the word for it. That's the way to think. Get a word for it. A lot of people are believing God for what they have no word for. When do you want to marry? I want to marry. I'm not marrying in 2 years' time. Have you studied God's word or anything about marriage? Or do you have a word for it from scripture that you have taken as your own personally? No, I shall know. I will marry. No, take a word for it. I'm saying, but people who don't even trust the word of God, they get married. That's why they marry nonsense. Because listen to me. If you till a soil, even if you don't put any seed, something will still grow. But what will grow will not be what you want. That's the definition of weed, unwanted plants. That's why you marry the guy and then you're not like, you want to shape him. Oh, God, you go stay there. You don't marry. Let's go back to that same. Proverbs 4, we're going to stop now. Verse 22. For they are life unto those who find them, and they are health to their flesh. Go back to 21. Before I get here, 21. He says, let them not depart from the eyes. Number two, what? Steadfast look. Give God's word what? He says, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Oh, time is gone. I wish I had time to explain, but let me just give it to you. Give God's word your meditative heart. Meditate on the word. Keep God's word in the midst of your heart. Ponder on the word. Let the word produce in you. I wish I have time to talk more on this. I can spend 5 Sundays on this alone. Meditation. He says, it is when you do this. Verse 22 now says, look at 22. He now says, for they are life unto those that find them, and they are health to their. That means God's word will become a flesh. That means it will become a reality. You can literally slice it with knife. That means that's the way you can transfer God's word concerning you. You can turn positional truth, your position in Christ, into your reality on earth by doing these 3 things. Were you blessed?
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.